with me in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness to us, your mercy, your free forgiveness for Jesus Christ's sake, for us who have sinned and fallen short of your glory, and yet whom you have justified by your grace. We pray that you would now teach us and guide us through your word this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today we come to Paul's epistle to Philemon, a very short letter. In fact, I will go ahead and read the entire letter. It's one chapter. Often citations of Philemon will simply list the verse because there's only one chapter, so you know what chapter it's from. All right, the letter of Paul to Philemon. I'll begin in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, a beloved fellow worker, and Apphia our sister, and Archippus our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I will write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, that I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. We find that at the beginning of the epistle, and he wrote it while a prisoner. In fact, he brings that up several times throughout the letter that he is a prisoner for the sake of Christ, and he writes it with Timothy, who likely served as Paul's scribe, except for verse 19, where it says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand, I will repay it. You know, so that might be him using his own handwriting there to confirm that point. It seems Paul wrote this letter during his first Roman imprisonment at the same time that he wrote Colossians and Ephesians. So that would be around the year 61 to 62. Paul sends greetings to Philemon, to Apphia, Archippus, and the church in your house. Now, most of the yous or yours in this are singular, probably referring to Philemon. He seems to have been the head of the household. It seems that perhaps Philemon and Apphia were married, that was husband and wife. Archippus's identity is a little less certain. Was he a son? Was he a younger brother? Was he their pastor? He's mentioned also in Colossians as having some ministry that he was to fulfill. Paul speaks of Philemon owing me even your own self, which seems to be a reference to Philemon's conversion through Paul. Perhaps as Philemon maybe was trading in Ephesus while Paul was there. When Paul was in Ephesus for some time, it says the word went throughout all Asia. And so that might have been a likely occasion for that. And so Paul wrote primarily to Philemon and about his slave Onesimus. And he's introduced in verse 10. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Onesimus apparently had run away from Philemon. He had also probably stolen from Philemon as well, perhaps to fund that escape. In verse 18, there's reference to, if he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. It's very clear that Philemon would have reason to resent Onesimus, reason to even punish him, perhaps even harshly. At least he would have been within legal rights to do so. Onesimus, though, had come to Rome and had one way or another come to Paul. We don't know if this was somewhat by accident or if he had all along been intending to go to Paul to try to find help, or if he ran to Rome and then realized he needed to connect with someone he already knew something about. We don't know how they connected, but one way or another, Onesimus had met with Paul while Paul was a prisoner, and that during that time, Onesimus had come to faith. He had undergone a change. Formerly, he was useless. Now, he was useful. In fact, those words for useless and useful, they're not the same word, but they sound similar to Christ. It's like Christus instead of Christos. So there might be somewhat of a pun there that he was formerly without Christ, but now he is useful in Christ. It's also a different word, but similar meaning to Onesimus' own name, beneficial or helpful. So now he's living up to his name. And he was begotten, literally, by Paul while he was in prison. And so now Paul was sending Onesimus back to Philemon with Tychicus, who is the bearer of Colossians and Ephesians. Onesimus and Tychicus are mentioned together in Colossians, that both of them were being sent back. Onesimus is only the one mentioned in this letter. And he was being sent back. And this letter is particularly written to commend Onesimus, to try to achieve a reconciliation between the two. In fact, while most modern readers are going to be especially noticing the theme of slavery as perhaps the theme of this letter, the theme of forgiveness and reconciliation is just as much a major theme of this letter. And both of those themes are things that we find in Colossians, which is probably sent and carried at the same time to the same people. Onesimus is mentioned in Colossians 4:9 as our faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. So this also helps locate Philemon and Onesimus in that church in Corinth. Colossae. Colossae, which was, I think we said, about 120 miles east of Ephesus, kind of more in roughly central Turkey, where there was Hierapolis, Colossae, and Laodicea, all in the same valley, pretty close to each other. Any questions so far just on introduction from Paul, mostly to Philemon, mostly about Onesimus. All right, so we have a structure here. First three verses are the greetings being sent. Again, Philemon, as a more wealthy member with a household, is able to host the church in his house. We don't know if he held any official position in the church, but at least as host, giving them a place to meet, had some importance there. Especially if Archippus, his son, was also perhaps the pastor. We don't know exactly, but he sends greeting to the church in their house as well. And verses 4 through 7, as a typical Pauline letter, give a thanksgiving, except now it's thanksgiving for an individual, Philemon, and he begins by thanking Philemon and encouraging him for the good fruit that he has seen. Now, he's going to appeal to some of those things later in the letter. As I've seen you do these things, do so all the more. But he begins by thanking God for what he has seen from Philemon, his faith and his love. And then verses 8 through 20 are his appeal to Philemon for Onesimus. Receive him as you would receive me, as a beloved brother. And then verses 21 through 25 are travel plans, greetings from fellow workers, and a benediction. And he even mentions, prepare a guest room for me. I plan to be coming, which perhaps put this closer to the end of his imprisonment, another clue that he expects to be released from that first Roman imprisonment and eventually head to the Aegean area. We don't know if he actually made it to Colossae or not. Things didn't always happen as Paul planned, but at least that's where he was planning to head to. It would also put a little more, at least incidentally, put more pressure on Philemon, knowing that Paul planned to visit. Now, in picking a key verse for this epistle, I came on verse 20, which is, first of all, a short verse, but it's also one that draws in a lot of key terms from the epistle. Does anyone want to tell me that verse 20?
Me, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, and refresh my bowels.
You want to give it to Alfred, too?
Yes, brother, I want to give it from the Lord.
From you in the Lord? Refresh?
Refresh.
Remember the second part? Refresh my heart in Christ. Yes. So, two different translations, but yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. First of all, we see the word brother. That's an important word in this epistle. First of all, he calls Philemon his brother in verse 7. And then in verse 16, he talks about how kind of what man meant for evil, God meant for good. There might have been a providential purpose behind Onesimus being parted from you, that he returns now as a beloved brother, more than a bondservant. And then it appears in verse 20 as well. Yes, brother, calling Philemon brother again, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. So there's this brotherhood between the three of them that has now been created in the Lord, in Christ. Then there is the word benefit. The idea of, it's actually the same root word as the word Onesimus. So the idea of helpful or beneficial, it was often a common name to give to slaves because that was the hope that they would be helpful. That wasn't only for slaves, but it's not surprising that a slave would be named this. But there's a use of that word here in verse 20 to a appeal for some benefit in the Lord from Philemon. Now, perhaps he's even saying, I want a benefit, namely Onesimus. I want him from you. But more directly, he is asking for this help, this benefit, that Philemon would honor his appeal. Then there's also the word in the Lord. We find in verse 20, we also find in verse 16 that he is a beloved brother, one who is beloved in the Lord. And this is also a phrase used in Colossians. When Paul talks about the relationships of people, especially in the household. He tells people to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's to dominate the what they do and the way they do it. And so the relationship of wives and husbands and children and fathers and bondservants and masters. And again, the word master and Lord being the same word is very significant. Not only are they to do their duties, which, you know, maybe Aristotle or someone would have been able to come up with, but they are to do their duties in the Lord as those who are of one body, who do so because they have been loved by the Lord, who do so serving the Lord as they serve one another, and so that they are serving the Lord Christ. And then finally, the word, well, not finally, there's two more words, refresh. This is a word that appears not only in verse 20, Philemon, refresh my heart, Paul says, but it also appears in verse 7. Philemon has refreshed people's hearts. He says, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So this is something that Philemon had been doing. It's a good model for us to be refreshing the hearts of the saints through faith, through love. And he appeals to that. Keep doing that. That's commendable. Now refresh my heart. And then the last word is the word heart, which, as the other translation had it, bowels. It's not the normal word for heart, cardia. It's the word that really refers to the intestines, which was kind of seen as the seat of the emotions, kind of the idea of compassion or that gut feeling of affection. And that is the word that's, at least in the ESV, translated as heart, both in verse 7, 12, and 20. So the saints' hearts or intestines, their affections had been refreshed through Philemon. And then Paul calls Onesimus his own my very heart. In verse 12, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. And so how would one refresh Paul's heart? Well, it's intimately connected with the treatment of Onesimus. He is my heart. So in refresh my heart, he's also saying, treat Onesimus well. And that's how you would refresh my heart, as he cares for him. So any questions about that verse? It's a very short verse, but draws in a lot of the themes of the passage. As Paul's appeal, verse 17 and verse 20 are kind of where he gets down to his actual request that he's making. Receive him as you would receive me. I want some benefit. Refresh my heart in Christ. So the question is, what did Paul want Philemon to do? First of all, at the very least, Paul wanted Philemon to forgive Onesimus. There had been some wrong. There had been wrong done to Philemon, and he wants him to forgive. Can you remember what Paul said in Colossians about forgiveness in chapter 3? In chapter 3, verse 13, he had said, actually, let me go back to verse 12, because it also uses that word for heart or bowels. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so he had said that to the church generally, and now in Philemon we see that put to action in a particular circumstance. God has forgiven you. As Paul had said, you owe me your very self, that we have been saved through Christ. I'm even now a prisoner for Christ, so likewise forgive Onesimus. And similar to how Christ paid the debt on our behalf, so Paul is willing to satisfy any debt that Onesimus owes. Furthermore, Paul wanted Philemon to receive Onesimus as a valued and beloved brother in the Lord. So just as when we come to salvation. We're not merely forgiven, but we're also embraced. We're also adopted into God's household and received and welcomed and loved and cared for. Paul sends Onesimus back to be received, to be welcomed, to be treated as and viewed as and loved as a beloved brother in the Lord. Not the same way that he once was. Notice that he would be beloved to Philemon in the flesh and in the Lord. What some have thought, does that mean he was literally his brother, his earthly brother, as well as his slave? Theoretically, that would be possible if one was from a free woman and one was from a slave woman, but it's more likely that what he's referring here is to his earthly relationship and his eternal relationship, that he is dear to him in his earthly connection as members of the same household as master and slave, and also beloved to him in his eternal relation in the Lord, something that would endure forever. Because he says, you have him back now forever. So not as a bondservant, that relation's not going to last forever, but in the Lord, that one would, and would be dear to him in that way as well. And so as he appealed for Onesimus, Paul appealed that Philemon would welcome Onesimus as he would Paul. Now, word for welcome is the same one in Romans 15, where he's trying to reconcile Jews and Gentiles, and he says, welcome one another as you have been welcomed in Christ. I'm paraphrasing there, but compares the way we've been welcomed in Christ to the way we welcome one another as members of Christ. And then third, not only forgiveness, not only receive as a brother, but it also seems that Paul would have been delighted if Philemon sent Onesimus back to help Paul. Onesimus had become very dear to Paul. He had become very useful to Paul. And so Paul says that he knows Philemon will do even more than I say. So there's some allusion to something more that he didn't maybe explicitly ask for. He almost explicitly asked for Philemon's return because he said, I would have been glad to keep him with me, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. Hint, hint. maybe he wants his consent, but he doesn't want to do it with any compulsion. So he alludes to something more. And so that's either a reference to sending Onesimus back to Paul and or giving Onesimus his freedom. So, any questions at this point? Yes. I didn't look up to see what... I know it's a common name in the region. There's a Greek story about a guy named Philemon in the same region. His wife's name's also been found on a gravestone. Not the same person, but in the region. But I didn't look up their meanings to see if there's a reference there. Hello. Welcome. We're just finishing up... So, as I said, the epistle to Philemon is as much about forgiveness and reconciliation as it is about slavery. But, obviously, the topic of slavery is going to grab the attention of most modern readers because of our own American history. And so I thought I would simply mention there's obviously a lot of other scripture passages in the New Testament that talk about that. As, for example, in Colossians itself, which was sent to the same church at the same time in chapter 3, 22 through 4, 1. Ephesians also. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about particularly to slaves and what they ought to do. They can serve God in that calling. You don't have to be, you know, have a high status in society to serve the Lord, but if you can gain your freedom, use the opportunity. Freedom is good. If you've been made free in Christ, don't unnecessarily make yourself a slave of man. In 1 Timothy, he both exhorts slaves to serve their masters, all the more if they're Christians. At the same time, at the beginning of 1 Timothy, he condemns man-stealers, those who steal people to sell them into slavery, in accordance with the Old Testament law. Revelation also has a kind of a more subtle reference to slavery, as it talks about the slaves that are being traded as human souls, as human lives. So Greco-Roman slavery was widespread, it was diverse, it was generally brutal, it didn't have the same limitations as Old Testament law gave it. And like I said, the apostles reaffirmed the condemnation of man-stealing, and it also taught masters and slaves to abstain from the many evils of the system, to operate it within it with justice, honesty, piety, mutual concern, and respect. And Paul instructed slaves to gain their emancipation if they had the opportunity. And notice that the apostles, they grounded the relation of male and female in the creation order. That's how we were created. Goes back to Genesis. But he does not do that when he talks about masters and slaves. Sometimes people will think, well, if we abolished slavery, and the apostles talked about slavery, therefore we can also abolish the differences between male and female. But there were different basis of those relationship. Slavery began and was rooted after the fall and was simply the existing order of the day. So that allowed for its transformation, its abolition, as the gospel made greater progress in society. Again, many of the Christians weren't able to do much at that time about changing the legal system, but they were dealing with how to deal with being within the system and to not participate in the many evils it encouraged and allowed and were practiced at that time. Thinking about Onesimus in particular, what happened to him? Was he freed? Well, we don't really know much from Scripture. He's just mentioned once in Colossians and in Philemon. We get this little snapshot. But the letter survived. It made its way into the canon, which is a good sign. Perhaps reconciliation was achieved. And in fact, it's possible that Onesimus rose in prominence to become a leader of the church as Bishop of Ephesus. As one commentator notes, when Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch in Syria, was being taken to Rome for execution in the year 110, he was visited in Smyrna by the Bishop of Ephesus, who was named Onesimus. Ignatius then wrote a letter to the Ephesian church, mentioned their bishop, and is one of the few places in early church literature that clearly echoes the language of Philemon. Now, perhaps it was just he thought about it because the guy happened to have the same name, but it is in the same region and within the same time period that if Onesimus was around 20 during the time of the letter to Philemon, he would have been maybe early 70s at this occasion, a plausible age for a bishop. So that's possibly what happened afterwards. Again, we should, you know, the important stuff is in Scripture, but as far as curiosity goes, that's possibly what happened. Gaining the trust of the community, was embraced as a brother, perhaps freed, perhaps helped Paul, although Paul's schedule didn't exactly happen as maybe he thought it would, so maybe that opportunity didn't come about. But he could have been one of Paul's last companions to continue preaching the gospel after many had passed away. So let's go ahead and prepare for worship. Next week, we're going to take a brief break from the Bible survey class to have a lesson on worship and our own order of worship before we return the week after that to the epistle to the Hebrews. And we'll talk about authorship. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for not only reconciling us with you and doing this great and marvelous work through your Son, as well as bringing us together in one body, that we might be reconciled and make peace with one another as we imitate you, forgiving each other's debts as you have forgiven ours. We pray that you would work this spirit of love and forgiveness within us, as well as repentance when we have done wrong, And we pray that you would build up your church in peace and unity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.